Hi, welcome to Barry Nation, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty.
You've just tuned into a podcast that welcomes you into a community, a resource center, and a safe place that powers your journey towards personal wellness.
Our goal is you leave us today feeling hopeful, inspired, and ready to live your best bariatric life.
Welcome, friends. We are so excited that you are joining us today for a very important conversation. Our friend, CEO of Bariatric Society, Narissa Stewart, is joining us for a very important conversation about a holiday that is happening today, June 19th. It is Juneteenth. It is a new recognized holiday, but actually the first time that this was really celebrated was 1865 right. In Texas. So this is not a new holiday. It is a new recognized holiday. So today we are thrilled that you're joining us, Rissa, so we can all understand what this day is, what it means, and how you recognize and celebrate it in your own life.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I can say that this isn't a holiday that I grew up celebrating, right? I think personally, I became more aware of it in two ways. One, as a DEI professional, so in my life outside of Bariatric Society, I am in the DEI or diversity and inclusion space from a professional standpoint and have been doing that for quite a number of years. And then also, I think we started to see celebrations be more commonplace really during the pandemic, right? As everybody paused to think about things outside of themselves, right? Like there are actually disparities in the world. Everybody doesn't see the world in the same view, and that there were actually sort of historical things that have happened that maybe weren't the right things or the best things or however you want to describe it, but that there have been some things within our U.S.'s history that we really needed to take a time and pause and think about and really understand deeper. And obviously, there's a lot of conversations happening even now, right, about how diversity and inclusion is portrayed in the workplace, in schools, all across the nation. So different states see that in different ways. We see things being, you know, erased and eradicated and taken out of textbooks. So there's so much. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you all. I know we'll dive a little bit deeper, but I think it's a great conversation to have and excited to be here with you.
Well, it's good that you brought up the, you know, the during the pandemic part, because there was a lot, and the explosion of TikTok into the world. I'm from Oklahoma, born and raised, lived there 40 years, and was a whole adult before I realized the Tulsa race riots were a thing. I had no idea. And I grew up, Oklahoma history was a subject that we had to have in many, many years that we had to go through it. And not once did they tell us anything about it. So it's really good that you brought that up. And I'm excited.
Yeah, lots of stories like that. Obviously, they're looking now at perhaps making Black Wall Street a national historic place. But there's cities and towns all over, especially the South, all over the South, that African-Americans have had so much influence at a time. And unfortunately, things have happened to sometimes erase that history. But it's always good to have an opportunity to bring things to the forefront and teach and educate, just like, you know, Juneteenth. They say that racial or not, any type of trauma can actually be passed through genetically through your DNA, right? So I think that that speaks to why we operate in some of the ways that we do, right? Why does someone, you know, perhaps clutch their purse, or, you know, why do certain folks feel threatened, or and why is, like, in situations where you should feel safe, or one should feel safe. So I think, you know, you have to, when you really think about it and put everything together, it does make sense. And, you know, for those that are willing to do the work and engage and explore and be curious, like you all are today, it starts to make sense. But in some cases, that's not always the case. I think everyone is pretty familiar with the Emancipation Proclamation, right? So where slaves were freed. Unfortunately, that news, think about it, we didn't have TikTok, and we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have email, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't, you know, Those things didn't exist. So this information was arriving literally on Pony Express. Well, in Galveston, Texas, that Pony Express actually arrived 2.5 years later. What we learned today is that folks in that area in Galveston, Texas, they have been celebrating this as their Independence Day for quite a number of years since then. And then other cities surrounding it adopted it. And then obviously much later, really just a few years ago, we started to recognize it as a, you know, actual national holiday. And very similar to some of the other ways we kind of celebrate in the Black community, it surrounds, you know, around togetherness, being together, having the cookouts, having the food, the macaroni and cheese, you know, the cornbread, the strawberry soda. I'll tell you actually about strawberry soda because I was researching it recently myself, is that things like strawberry soda and red velvet cake are actually celebrated for Juneteenth to recognize the bloodshed that had been shed over the time. So there actually are those symbols within Juneteenth that represent, you know, historic things within the past. But otherwise, from a celebration standpoint, you know, there's the music, there's dancing, again, just coming together to celebrate. Very similar to how we celebrate other things in the U.S., whether it's, you know, the 4th of July or Memorial Day, or more so in the Black community, probably a family reunion.
Mm-hmm. When you really start looking hard at the things that you love and you have taken on as your own, their origins usually lie somewhere very distant from your own personal ones.
Yeah, and I can go a touch deeper. So there's food within the Black community. It was things like chitlins, if you're familiar, right? So pig intestines, things like that. I think the pig feet, people wonder like, okay, why do you eat that? Why do your grandparents eat that? But those foods are historical and rooted in slavery because these were what was left of the pig, right? So if you have a pig roast and you get the bacon and you get the ham shoulder, whatever that is, that was for the owner, right? For the plantation. And then what was left were some of these undesirable parts of the animal that was then brought back to the slave quarters. And of course, like we do, we're very resilient. So we're going to figure out a way, right? We're going to season, we're going to get it cleaned up. We're going to season it up and we're going to, you know, make it work. And so it's things like that, that have been passed on through the generations. And again, you might not know why. You just might be like, oh my goodness, why in the world do we eat that? But that is, you know, again, one of those things, it's not even symbolic. It's just true. It's just things that were carried on from generation to generation.
Yeah. The resilience that is demonstrated every single second within the Black community, it really connects to me deeply on Juneteenth because it's a day of celebration, but to think about how that celebration happened, it only happened because information was not passed to a giant group of people.
Most people didn't get what was promised, right? That 40 acres and a mule. So still definitely long road that was ahead in that moment in 1865 or 2.5 years before. So,
wow. So when we are reflecting on this day of great importance, what are some ways that you enjoy seeing people commemorating the day?
Absolutely. So, you know, we have a habit in the U.S., right, of becoming, you know, very Hallmark, right? We say, oh, there's a holiday. We put a name to it. We, you know, all of a sudden now there's a sale. Why are we having a sale, you know, for Juneteenth? Okay, cool. I like a sale just like anyone else. But at the same time, it's not about that, right? Or it's not about saying, oh, let me throw a post up just because. I think it's very important to, one, understand, right? And to be curious and have these conversations. But at the same time, I think it's important to really remember, right? I think we do a great job of that on holidays like Martin Luther King Jr. Day, on holidays like Veterans Day, right? So really taking the time to think about the message. I feel like in some ways, Juneteenth got off on the wrong foot, it seems like. Everyone, again, we were kind of in that pandemic space where people are very virtual and, you know, they're leaning towards social media and things like that. And so you just started seeing these posts come up with not necessarily a lot of substance, right? I think what I'd love to see is, you know, whether it's taking that moment of silence, right, to really think about, you know, that moment, to kind of think about kind of what you said of what did it actually mean to get that message and to get it late, to think about what are ways or avenues that you could open the door for someone, because not just Black people, but other minorities are still plagued by, you know, different generational kind of setbacks. So how can you open the door today, right? How can you maybe say no to an opportunity and refer someone else for that opportunity, whatever it is, right? Or how can you say, hey, you know what? This is a great day that I can donate to this organization or that organization that affects this group. I think it's an opportunity to, you know, perhaps even sit down and read more about the candidates as we look towards November, right? Like who's going to be making the decisions going forward? I think it's a great opportunity to look at our HBCUs, our historically Black colleges and universities, and looking to see what can be done there. There's so many opportunities that, you know, we can give back and do so in a way that doesn't have to be so performative. It's not Valentine's Day. It's, you know, it's something that's really important and means a lot to people.
Well, especially in this day and age of optics being everything, people just want to feel like they're doing something to be, you know, inclusive. If you don't live it every single day and do what you can to go out of your way to make sure that you not only ingratiate yourself to other communities that may not look like you, but to learn why. It's not just about, oh, I've got a Black friend. It's about, you know, what has that Black friend been through? What is that, you know, what are the differences between how I was raised, how he was raised, what the things that I've been through and what he's been through? And it's really learning, you know, taking the time and the effort to learn more about that in depth so that you understand it, not just what TV tells you. It's legitimately about learning, like you said, what you can do to better support and be an ally for those who may not look like you.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it can be as simple as thinking about what brands, you know, do you support? What restaurants do you go to? You know, are you going to, you know, Black owned restaurants or Black owned stores and boutiques? And while I don't think, you know, we should live our entire lives and existence this way, I think it is an opportunity to reflect and say, hey, what are the things that I truly support? Is there diversity within that, right? And I think it's a great opportunity to really just think and kind of check yourself there, to really just be thoughtful about, we think about our carbon footprint, right? So, you know, how do we think about like our economic footprint? Where are our dollars going? Are they, you know, making an impact?
Rissa, this conversation is going to be eye-opening and inspiring. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is an extremely necessary and needed one. And we're just so thankful that you're here to help us understand it and to carry forward that message of taking time to look inward and look for all the ways that we can help everyone in our community.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Where can they find you if they'd like to connect with you?
Oh, everywhere. But definitely, personally, Rissa Recharged on all platforms. And of course, Bariatric Society is definitely where we are showing, you know, our support for the community and doing our best to provide resources, events, you know, meetups. So one, to just bring that support to the bariatric community, but also, you know, definitely, you know, having a lens for diversity and inclusion too, of how do we make sure that everyone feels welcome, everyone feels that they're involved, and everyone has a safe place.
Absolutely. And we'll make sure all of these resources that we've talked about in this podcast and links to Rissa and Barrett Society are included in the show notes. So if you would like to continue the learning when this podcast episode ends, that is going to be a fantastic place for you to start. Thank you again, Rissa. We appreciate you.
My pleasure.
That wraps up another empowering episode of the Berry Nation podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, keep the conversation going by joining the Berry Nation membership community, where you can attend live support events, access on-demand resources, and find a caring community.
Join us at berrynation.mn.co. If you found this podcast valuable, help us produce it by becoming a $5 monthly supporter at berrynationpodcast.com.
And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.